Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak on those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer. We've been looking concerning the resurrection of the dead in our study. And now we see that because of the abundant evidence and proof of his resurrection, we need to understand that it is because that Jesus lives that baptism has meaning. You know, there's much controversy about the subject of baptism. And because of that, I believe it's appropriate for us to give some time in discussing some of them. There are many religious groups that teach a person desiring to be baptized may choose either sprinkling, pouring, or immersion, according to whatever it is they prefer. Whatever reason may be used to justify this practice is insignificant. What matters is the teaching of the Word of God. There are two scriptures that plainly teach baptism is a burial. One of those is Romans chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. And the other verse is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. See, the purpose of baptism is an important matter to settle in view of the fact that there are so many differing views concerning it. Some believe baptism is to show that one is already saved. But our concern should be what the Bible says about this and settle it on that basis. The Scriptures tell us that baptism is for the remission of sins. The first time the gospel was preached in its fullness, those that wanted to know what to do to be saved were told. Look at Acts 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I'm aware that there are those who say this verse teaches that the word "for" in this verse means because of, rather than in order to. However, this is not true. In another important passage, I want us to read now Matthew 26 and verse 28. Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Did Jesus shed his blood because our sins were already forgiven, or in order that they might be forgiven? See, what the apostles taught us is that Jesus told them to preach. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." There is a scripture that says there is one baptism, and that's in Ephesians 4. When we begin reading in verse 4, "There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." There are other passages that teach the necessity of baptism to obtain forgiveness. Let's look at two of them that are very plain. The first of these has to do with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. He persecuted Christ and his church, even to the point of desiring letters from the high priest, that he might go to Damascus, that if he found any of the way, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. While he was on his way, there shined around him a light from heaven, and a voice spoke to him. And let's read the next three verses of Scripture and see that he was not saved at that particular moment. Beginning our reading in Acts 9, verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And here is what Ananias, the preacher who was chosen to speak to Saul, says in Acts 22 and verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And now let's look at the other passage on the subject. And in this passage, the writer refers to the salvation of Noah and his family when God sent the flood to destroy the world. In 1 Peter 3, read in verse 21, There's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Keep in mind that the point of our study for the last several studies is to see who has the right to the tree of life. Do you think those who give no attention to what the Word of God says will be included? There's no scripture in the Bible that teaches that baptism alone saves us. There are other conditions that we must meet in order to receive the forgiveness of sin. And so, let's see the importance of giving heed to all of these conditions, but understanding that Jesus died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. We too must die with Christ. We must be buried with Christ in baptism. We too must be raised to walk in a new life. You know, when the serpent tempted Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit, we find that she could eat of the fruit and die, or refuse to eat of it and continue to have the right to eat of the tree of life and live. She made the choice to eat of the fruit of that tree that was forbidden. She gave some to her husband, Adam, who he also ate. And consequently, both were driven from the garden and no longer had the right to eat from the tree of life. Through the years, God has given his people the opportunity to make a choice. The Jews were reminded of this when they prepared to enter the promised land in Canaan. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, he spoke to them very plainly when he said in verse 15, See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. We find that Joshua later challenges them to make the right choice, emphasizing the choice that he had made. It's in Joshua chapter 24 we begin our reading in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. For to the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In spite of all of these warnings, examples, and admonitions, many made the wrong choice, and they suffered the consequence. Many in the world today ignore all of this, and they choose the way that leads to destruction rather than the way that leads to life. But this is not true of everyone in former days, nor is it true today. Thankfully, there are those who are making the right choice. A good example in the Bible of one that did make a wise choice is Mary, whom Jesus visited with her sister Martha. Read the account of this in God's Word. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 and begin our reading at verse 38. Now it appointed as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are troubled and worried about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In this Bible passage, Jesus taught the value of listening to what he has to say on any occasion. It was in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus urged the people to make the right choice. He set before them two ways, and he encouraged them to choose the one that led to life. In Matthew 7, beginning in verse 13, enter but a narrow way, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus also taught the importance of choosing the right foundation on which to build in Matthew 7, when he began in verse 24 reading. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. See, as you read these words of the Lord, we need to keep in mind the choice is between life and death. Ultimately, the life is eternal life in heaven with God, and the death is eternal separation from God in the place that the Bible calls hell. Remember also, those that choose life will have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city to live forever. Friends, we appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn to our announcer.